singing our little song. It was God speaking through Scripture in the power of the Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, the role of the child in the story should not be overlooked. As we heard in the Gospel reading this morning, Jesus embraced children. He tells his disciples, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." Most Christian congregations around the world, and certainly the one gathered here this morning, honors the saying of Jesus and makes a practice of welcoming children. We baptize them. We welcome them into the life of Christ. We pray with and for them. We teach them the stories of Jesus. We promise to love and bring them up in the knowledge and love of the Lord. In doing so, we acknowledge our responsibility as Christians for the well-being of our children and children everywhere. You have heard the song, I'm sure. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, brown and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves all the children of the world. It's a simple song. But these days, it becomes hard to sing without becoming tongue-tied, especially if you are confronted by your TV screen with a picture of a lifeless three-year-old boy face down on a beach, a member of the family among the masses of migrants moving through Europe these days, or if you come across pictures of terrified and maimed children in a bit of war zones. Or, if closer to home, you find yourself shamed by pictures and stories of hungry or abused children in our own country, or perhaps in our own city. As Christians, we remember what Jesus said and did regarding children, and we know we cannot ignore these grim and heart-rending realities. Has called us to love and care for our children, to welcome them in his name. My message this morning, however, is more than an effort to reinforce the call to welcome and care for children. It's more about that word of Jesus we heard at the beginning of my sermon, the one about becoming like a child. Receiving the kingdom of God like a child. I want us to hear in this phrase, like a child, more than a call to responsibility, more than a moral obligation to welcome and care for children that our Lord addresses to us. Instead, I want us to listen for the gospel, the good news, in these words, to become like a child. My conviction is that only if we hear the gospel, the good news, in what Jesus says about becoming like a child, are we truly ready to take up his call to respect and love and care for children. That the phrase, like a child, has something to do with the gospel and Christian life may at first seem strange and even off-putting. Haven't the critics of Christianity since the earliest centuries, and increasingly in our enlightened age, charged that Christian faith, like all religions, is basically infantilism? The refusal of people to grow up and stop thinking and acting like children. Did not the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians declare, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I gave up childish ways." Yes, question then is, what is this particular kind of childlikeness that Jesus calls us to exhibit in our adulthood? The answer to this question is found in a larger context of Jesus' teachings about children. Recall first his word about welcoming children. The larger context of this word is Jesus' teaching his disciples that the time is coming when he will deliver those to the authorities and put to death. The disciples obviously don't want to hear stuff like this. Instead, they are arguing about which of them will be the greatest in the coming kingdom, Jesus proclaims. Whereas Jesus talks about the cross he will bear, the sacrifice he will make, his coming experience of weakness and powerlessness as the culmination of God's sacrificial love for us, the disciples quarrel over who in the coming kingdom will possess the greatest power and have the highest honor. This is the context in which Jesus takes the child in his arms and says, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." Jesus points to a child as a visual reminder of the strange presence of love of God, not in wealth and power, but in poverty and weakness. In welcoming a child, we acknowledge the powerless power of the crucified Lord. That's more than a moral law, my friends. That's gospel. The other word of Jesus about children, quoted in my opening remarks of the sermon, must also be understood in its context. The crowds are bringing children to Jesus so that he may touch and bless them. But the disciples think this is a bother and a distraction from the important ministry of their Lord. After all, he has more important things to do than kiss the babies like some aspiring politician. Like women and the underclass of society, children in the minds of disciples don't count for much. But rebuking disciples, Jesus takes the children in his arms, blesses them, and says, "If you do not receive the kingdom of God like a child, you will not enter it." Here, too, what Jesus says and does in regard to the children gives witness to all of us that the grace of God comes in a surprising and disturbing form that confounds and disrupts our conventional ways of thinking of the presence and power of God. It is not in what the world counts as power, but in weakness. Not in what the world considers central, but in what is counted as peripheral. Not in the superhero, but in that marginal one called a child. What openness to God's presence and activity finds surprising expression. That too, my friends, is gospel. So why does this call of Jesus to become like a child make us uncomfortable? In past eras, it was perhaps due to the views of children, not as ready recipients of God's grace, but as inheritors of the sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. For their own good, children must be brought in line and as soon as possible, lest they fall under the wrath. A friend once told me a frightful story about his seminary professor who said to his students that he considered it his Christian duty to break this sinful spirit of his son before the age of two. With that attitude, how could you possibly make sense of Jesus' call to welcome children and to retain a kind of childlikeness even as an adult? There is, of course, an extreme view on the other end of the spectrum. In contrast to a severe disciplinarian approach to children, there's the opposite sin the same token, the elderly person is at risk, who cannot accept the fact that advanced age brings real limitations on what they once were able to do. While all this is true, the idea of life as a series of discrete stages is often accompanied by the notion that each stage of life neatly succeeds and altogether leaves behind the former stages. When matters are seen this way, childhood becomes a stage to be respected in its own right, to be sure, but the main point now is to get beyond it, to leave it and everything associated with it behind. In this view, the life of the child has nothing to teach us, nothing to give us. Jesus takes issue with this neatly segmented view of the course of our life before God. A particular form of childlikeness belongs to the marks of a mature and elderly disciple of Christ. So what is the meaning of childlikeness as an enduring mark of a disciple of Jesus? In what way are we to know the great love of God in Jesus Christ enables us to discern a working of the secret grace of God in the life of the child? Here are a few suggestions. In the first place, the child confronts us as one in need. She cannot survive and certainly cannot flourish without the help of others. The child is dependent. The child is vulnerable. I assure you, my friends, it is not only the child who is vulnerable. We too, as adults, middle age, old age, never entirely outgrow our neediness. Regardless of age, all of us depend on the company and help of others to flourish. Whatever our age, we are and remain vulnerable in important ways. The child reminds us of that fact. So being childlike means honestly recognizing the truth that confronts us in the reality of childhood and however mature we adults think we may have become, however strong we think we are, however convinced we are that we can handle life entirely on our own, we too are needy, not of course in exactly the same way the child is needy, but needy nevertheless, needy of God's grace above all, the starting line of life, not the goal. She looks at life with fresh eyes. She is eager to experience new things. That's why she loves to play. There's a wonderful passage in Zechariah read this morning, where the prophet promises that in the time that is coming of God's justice and peace throughout the earth, boys and girls will be seen playing in the streets. Imagine that. A vision of the new age, of the kingdom of God to come on earth as in heaven. And it's not a picture of choirs of angels singing in heaven, but of children playing and laughing in the streets, safe. Child was a playful beginner, willing to grow, to learn new things, to be amazed. If the child is allowed to be a child, she is receptive to the new, ready to be surprised, full of joy, which is one reason why the sight of weary, hungry, and abused children makes us ashamed. Lifting up the receptivity, the playfulness, the joy of the child. The point is not to demonize our adult life with daily work. The grace of God can surely be experienced in our work. Calvinists have never been deficient in that knowledge. As adults, however, we are we not, inclined to forget that the grace of God is also present in our play, in the joy of being surprised, in the readiness to be amazed. Without something like this spirit of childlikeness, with its playfulness, its openness to the new, its joy in the simple things of life, our adult workaday world becomes a soul-destroying drudge. Our modern 24/7 workaday mania, to which millions of people are confined or addicted, threatens to destroy the childlike spirit of playfulness, surprise, and joy. Loss of the spirit exacts a huge toll on one's own health and on the quality of family relationships. It can also endanger our relationship with God. When our sense of the mystery awesomeness of God's grace, the ever new beauty of the love of God in Jesus Christ, and the deep joy this instills, when all of this is squeezed into a few religious rituals observed joylessly and reduced to a few pious formulas, we find ourselves at a great distance from the word of Jesus. That we must receive. us, Lord, this day to forgive others. Christians live by the word of forgiveness today. They refuse to allow the injuries and unfaithfulness of the past to imprison them. As for the future, they live by hope in God, not allowing fantasies or fears of the future to lure them away from what needs to be said, what needs to be done in this moment, in the here and now, if we are to be responsible, mature disciples of Jesus Christ. It all comes down to this. We are to welcome children as Jesus summons us to do, not simply because that is our duty, our moral obligation as adults, not simply because it is an inviolable command given to us by our Lord. We should welcome children also, the first of all, because for us and our salvation, Jesus Christ commenced the reconciliation of the world as a child.